we have the parsha of Tshuva. We're going to read through it briefly, and what I want to deal with is the position of the Ramban and the Rambam with respect to the mitzvah of Tshuva, and there may be all sorts of other things that will emerge from it. Maybe just as a remark at the opening, one of the stories that I've been looking into for the last week is a sefer called Perach Mater Aaron, Chidushim on the Rambam by Rav Aaron Halevi Soloveitchik, the Tzaddik Lerach, the Rav's younger brother. The reason why I pulled this out and why I've been looking into it is because in Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's introduction to this sefer, he writes the following. He thanks a number of people who were helpful in getting the sefer printed, and then he says, "V'achron achron chaviv, last and most beloved of all, the Talmidi Hamitzuyan, my outstanding student, Ishkesh Tolot, the person of all the great manuals of all, Arav HaGoyen, Dr. David Yaakov Halevi Avubam, Arofei HaYadua, the well-known Dr. Shizoko Bukrasi Oshay Rosh Knesset Yisrael HaTzalas Nefashis, received a prize from the Knesset for life-saving. She'omau V'yoga Oksav Hayav, he toiled and he put in all the effort on the Rav Aaron's writings. The Hishkia Bo Yom V'Leilos, he invested day and night. Shebeskut Amalo V'Avodato, because of his effort and his work, Roe HaKibur Or, this sefer has been published. Right. So I'd say that we've all been in mourning, and most probably we will be in mourning for a long, long time to come. All right. We're going to begin with the text. If we read through the text quickly, this is I'm not sure yet what to call it, because we're going to talk about the question, is there a mitzvah of tshuva? That may sound very strange to you, is there a mitzvah of tshuva? But we're going to see that it is it's a real question. When all of these things are going to happen, the blessing and the curse, because in Parashat Kitavo, in the Kukotai, we get a view of Jewish history, and Jewish history is going to be both blessing and curse. There are going to be good times and there will be bad times. And when all of this is going to happen to you, Hashem Otati L'chonavu, that I have placed before you, V'hashevota El Lovoveva, you will return to your heart, you're going to look at yourself. Amongst all of those nations where God had cast you out. I want to point out the word v'shafto al Hashem Elokecha can be translated in two ways. V'shafto, you shall return to God your God. V'shafto can also mean, and you will return to God your God. Which means it could be a divine imperative. That's what you should do. That's the right thing to do. You're suffering, do tshuva. And then there's the possibility that we're going to look at ourselves a great deal more seriously, and we are going to reach the point of returning to God our God. As I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. There are going to be all sorts of repetitions over here, and the fact is that this very text was the subject of last year's shir on Sovereign of Hayelach, and I'm not going to go through that again. But I really want to come to the few psukim that come right after the parsha. The so-called parsha of Tshuva are 10 psukim. You have it here from Aleph to Yud. And it describes where we're off to. V'shom Hashem l'kevod shvutcho. God is going to return your captivity. V'richamecha. And he will have mercy on you. V'shom v'kibetz holy kol ha'amim. And he's going to turn again and gather you into all of the nations. Asher etitzcho Hashem l'kevod shvutcho. That God has dispersed you there. By the way, these psukim are going to be said time and time again during the slichas, the davening, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. These psukim are going to appear over and over again. Now, this pasuk, I simply can't pass this pasuk without saying the great word of the Meshech Chochm Rabbi Simcha HaKoymit Vins Yor Samer. Take a look at the pasuk. We're going to say it in davening. You might as well know what it means. V'shom Hashem v'kevod shvutcho. God is going to return your captivity. What does that mean? That means Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, V'richamecha, and he will have mercy upon you. V'shom, and he's going to go back there. V'kibetzcho, mikol ha'amim, and he's going to gather you in from all the nations. Asher hefitzcho, Hashem l'kevod shvutcho, that God dispersed you there. Wait a minute. Wasn't that done in the first part of the pasuk? It said already. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Mitzvutcha. Already said that God is going to return your captivity. What's this new act of mercy that he's going to go back out there again and gather you in? Great. Great thought of the of Rameh Simcha. Rameh Simcha says the following. There are two kinds of Jews in the exile. There are two kinds of Jews in Golis. There's the Jew in Golis who dreams, who yearns, and longs for Eretz Yisrael. You know what he feels like? He can be in Flatbush, he can be in West Hempstead, and he feels like he's in captivity and can't wait for the time that he's going to return to Eretz Yisrael. And then there are others who, not bad, you know. You can get used to it. You can get used to those. It has some advantages, you know. No, it certainly aren't buses slowing down. That's an advantage. What about other advantages? So the Rebbe Simcha says that God is telling the Jewish people, "Rishon Hashem Elokecha Shvutcha." God is going to return those who feel like they're captives in Chutz Lanz. They're going to be the first ones. The ones who feel like they are captives and can't wait for the moment that they return to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be the first wave. And then V'richamecha, there's going to be a special act of God's mercy and compassion. He's going to go back into the exile. V'kibetzcho mikol ha'amim, he's going to gather you in from all the nations where you are dispersed. There will be two stages, stage one and stage two. I venture to guess that we're part of that big stage one. Thank you. And that we're hanging in here, you understand, is the great schus. We can stand up before the Rebbeinu Shlomo and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and tell them, listen, we came back, we're here, and we plan on staying here despite everything. That has to count. That has to count for a great deal. In the end, you're going to be cast out at the very end of the earth, the ends of the heaven. From there, God is going to gather in you in, and there He's going to bring you. God is going to bring you to the land that your fathers inherited. You will inherit it. This is what we're waiting for. This is the great blessing we're waiting for. Vehitivcha is going to be good to you, and He's going to make you even greater than your fathers. That's an unusual and exceptional prophet. All right, we can pass over the next few psukim and then come to the next paragraph. The part of Tshuva ends, and then it says, Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zot, pasuk yud aleph, 11. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zot, asher ha-rochim mitzvah, v'chayit on this mitzvah that I command you today, lo nifleiti mimcha, v'lo rechokayi. It's not impassable, and it's not distant from you. It's not in heaven that you will be able to say, Me, who's going to be able to climb to the heavens and take it for us? And we will listen and we will do. It's not at the other side of the ocean. So that you could say, Mi Yavro Lonu El Abraham, who's going to go to the other side of the sea, the Kochel Lonu, and take it unto us? V'yashmienu Atam, we'll hear v'na'asenu. Ki Kodov Eilecho HaDovar Ma'od, it's very close to you. The thing is close to you. B'ficha u'bilvacha la'asoto. It's in your mouth and in your heart to do. This pasuk ki ha-mitzvah ha-zot, Rashi says, Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zot, he's referring to all of Torah. All of Torah, this great mitzvah that I've given you from the beginning of Torah till now. The Ramban is one of the Mefarshim, and we're going to concentrate on the Ramban and then on the Ramban to the extent that we will be able to. The Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, the Ramban says, and take a look at number 2. I want to go first to the paragraph where there are a number of lines that are underlined. The Ta'am ki ha-mitzvah hazot, pasuk yud aleph in that big Ramban over there. Pasuk yud aleph. The Ta'am ki ha-mitzvah hazot, al kol ha-Torah kula. It refers to kol, all of Torah. And the Ramban here is really quoting Rashi and the other Mefarshim. But he's going to take a different position. V'hanochon, what is correct, what he means, what is correct according to him. Ki al kol ha-Torah yomar, kol ha-mitzvah, asher onochi mitzavecho ha-yom, aval ha-mitzvah ha-zot al ha-tshuva miskeret. He says, no. If this pasuk would be talking about all of Torah, then all it should have said, Ki ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavecho ha-yom, the mitzvah that I command you today. But wait a minute, there's another word added there. Hazot. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot. This mitzvah. Or once it says ha-mitzvah hazot, that means the pasuk is focusing in on one single particular mitzvah. This is not all of Torah. V'hanachon, take a look what he says. Ki al kol ha-Torah, if it would be talking about all of Torah, that this mitzvah is so close to you, it's easy, it's not in the heavens, it's not across the sea, it's in your mouth and your heart to do it. If it would be referring to all of Torah, then it should have said, Ki ha-mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavecho. Aval ha-mitzvah hazot, when it says this mitzvah, al ha-tshuva ha-nizkeret, you know what it's talking about? Sure. The mitzvah that was described in the 10th psukim preceding, which is the mitzvah of tshuva. Ki v'hashevoto el-levavecho, v'hashevoto el-levavecho, that it said in the first pasuk, in pasuk number 1 that we read. V'shavto av Hashem l'kecho, then it says in pasuk number 2. And all the rest of the times, you know what that's talking about? That is mitzvah she'itzaveh otanu la'asot ken. It's a mitzvah that we should do so. Now listen very carefully. V'nemra v'loshon beinani. The problem, and a great deal of the problem is, when I read the parasha before, I said, V'shavto can be translated in one of two ways. You shall return. Or, V'shavto means you will. All the tzaras are going to come upon you. The weight of Jewish history is going to come down on you. And then you will. So the Ramadan refers to this as Loshon Beinoni. Beinoni means a term that's somewhere in the middle, or it's a bit ambivalent. It could be this way, it could be that way. It could be you shall, it could be you will. And he says the reason why the Torah wrote it this way, why did the Torah simply write, Toshuv, the tzaros are going to come upon you, Toshuv, Shuv. Why Vishavta, Vahashevota? These are words that seem not to be a divine imperative. It could be understood that way, but it could also mean a description of the reality of what's going to happen. This is what the Ramban calls Lashon Beinoni. It's like, it's parav. It's not fleshik, it's not milchik. Somewhere in the middle. So the Ramban says, you know why the Torah used this ambivalent kind of term? Because the Torah is telling you not only that you shall, but the Torah is also telling us what's going to be in the future. You will. We know exactly. God says, I know exactly what's going to happen. You shall do tshuva, and the fact is that you will do tshuva. So he says, the nemar of Elosha Habbeinini limos to hint to the fact that in the future it's going to be like this. Now, we had a shiur a number of weeks ago where we learned the Ramban, and the Ramban used precisely the same term where he says the Torah used Lashon Beinoni, this power of a term. And I, the fact is, you don't have to look. I had that Ramban on the other side of the sheet. When we learned the Parash of the King, it says that when you're going to come to the land in which you live, Va'omarta, you will say, Osimo Alai Melech, I want to place a king upon myself like the other nations of the world. And the mitzvah is Som Tosim Alecha Melech, so you should place a king upon that I choose. But in the first one, they were concerned about the word Va'omarta. Does Va'omarta mean you shall say we want a king? Or does Va'omarta mean, you know, you will say we want a king? And the Ramban says the same thing there. It's a Lashon Beinoni, because the fact is, he holds that it's a mitzvah that Jews should ask for a king. And the pasuk is also telling us, in the future, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to come, and you're going to say. Same thing the Ramban says is true over here. V'atam lemar, ki im yeri dachachom v'kitzei ha-shamayim v'ato b'yad ha-amim, tuchal lashuv el Hashem v'lasot ichol asher amelchim v'tzarcho hayom. And he says, even if you are dispersed amongst the nations of the world, I want to tell you, it's possible to do tshuva. You're able to do it. Tuchal, you can turn to God and do everything that I commanded today. It's not concealed nor distant from you. It's close, you can do it at any time and in any place. Now, the Ramban is going to take the last pasuk, and in this last pasuk, Ki korov elecho hadova ma'od, b'ficha u'bilevav chol ha'asoto, and the fact is, not even the last pasuk, the last three words, b'ficha u'bilevavcha la'asoto, it's in your mouth and in your heart to do, the Ramban is going to see in these three words the entire structure of tshuva, the body of tshuva. And he says, v'zeh tam b'ficha u'bilevavcha la'asoto, she'yitvadu et avonam, they should confess their sins. That's b'ficha. What do you do with your mouth? What aspect of tshuva, what dimension of tshuva comes to the fore with one's mouth? The confession, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, Al Chet Shechotonu Vanecho. So b'ficha is bidui. She'yisvadu es avon, avonam et avon, avotam defiem, that they should confess their sin and the sin of their fathers with their mouths. V'yoshuvu b'liba. Now, vidui alone, b'ficha alone, is not enough. If it's not going to be b'levavcha, if it's not going to be in your heart, it's not going to be something that you really mean. That vidui, that confession, is useless, it's valueless. V'yoshuvu b'liba mal Hashem, v'yekamu aleihem, and they will accept upon themselves today, Torah la'asota l'dorot. Bilvavcha means you're serious, you really mean it. La'asoto is the final step of tshuva, is when one accepts upon himself the future. I'm going to do all the mitzvahs. I'm not going to do that ever again. So in these three words, it's amazing how the Ramban reads it. Beficha, bevilvavcha, la'asoto. Beficha, this is vidui, the confession. Bevilvavcha, our heart that is turning to God, la'asoto, and the decision that this is the way it's going to be in the future. All right. So the Ramban, I think we can say that the Ramban is quite clear. Ramban makes a very definite statement that tshuva is a mitzvah. What about the Rambam? The Rambam has really been the subject of great debate for many years, and by the end of the shiur, I still have a little bit guts. I may enter in with my own approach, very humbly, in between the greats who have dealt with this. So let's begin next page. The numbers are specifically to the Rambam. Nobody can approach. You can't approach Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur without Hilchus Tshuva of the Rambam. That's axiomatic. The Rambam was the first one who saw tshuva as such a significant, all-important part of Yahadut, that he codified the laws of tshuva. The Rambam was the first one. And the fact is that anybody who came afterwards built on whatever the Rambam wrote. They say, of course, that the Rambam, brilliant as he was, divided it into 10 chapters so that one should learn a chapter a day during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. I think we have 10 days. How many days do we have to Rosh Hashanah? You know, you can learn it once till Rosh Hashanah, and then again during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. If one time around is good, twice around has to be more than twice as good. So we're going to learn a little bit in the Rambam, and we're going to see what's the approach taken by Gedolei Yisrael to this Rambam.
Do you want more water?
Huh?
You want more water?
Yes. Thanks. Thank you very much, Toby. Hilchot Tshuva. Now you should know every section of the Rambam begins with a koteret, a headline, a title, and they all sort of are pretty much similar. They tell you what mitzvot, positive and negative, are going to be dealt with in this section. When it comes to mitzvah, Shuvai says, mitzvah asei achat. We're going to deal with one positive commandment. For who? Sheyoshu hachote mecheto l'fnei Hashem, that the sinner shall do tshuva before God, v'yitvadeh, and confess. Ubeyur mitzvah zu, and the explanation, the clarification of this mitzvah, v'ikorim hanigrorim imo biglola, and fundamental principles of Judaism that flow through this mitzvah. And these few words are words that he never says at the beginning of any of his sections, because here in Mitzvah Tshuva, he's going to have to deal with extremely, extremely significant aspects of Yahadut. Tshuva, of course, is based on the fact that man has free will. The Rambam is therefore going to devote two chapters to the whole idea of free will, that we can do whatever we want. And because we can do whatever we want, therefore he's going to take us to the next major pillar of belief in Judaism, which is reward and punishment. Since we can do whatever we want to do, so therefore we are responsible. And if we're responsible, God can command us what to do and what not to do. And therefore we can be... we are open for reward or, God forbid, punishment, depending on whether we did listen to the word of God or we didn't.
How come it says, and then it says, he already returns, what does he have to confess after?
All right. I thought you nearly were touching on something extremely significant, but you were touching on something just slightly less significant. But that I'll, I, I'll just answer that with the following. As far as Torah is concerned, there are ideas or feelings that have to be expressed verbally. Do you love me? She asks him. And he says, but of course I do. So why don't you tell me? I love you in my heart. Doesn't help me. You really mean something, you say it. The Baal Tshuva who gives verbal expression and is able to say, I know what I did and I'm sorry. Oy, that has infinite more power than simply thinking. Thoughts, easy come, easy go. They can just fly through the mind and gone. That's why, I thought you were going to ask, but since you didn't ask, then I'm going to... What was the last pasuk that the last three words that the Rambam was talking about? Bevicha u'bilevavicha la'asoto. Shouldn't it have been bilevavicha u'bevicha if bevicha means vidui and levavcha means tshuva, which comes first? First comes levavcha and then comes bicha. And you let me get away with it.
Yeah, that's it.
You let me get away. Not a single one of all of you here in this great hall. Not a single one stopped me.
That's what she meant.
That's what she meant. And of course, it's an extremely more significant question than I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there can be a sheer just on this question, but I'm not going to do that. But I will simply say, because whatever went on in one's heart until he makes that declaration, the verbal declaration intensifies the feeling of tshuva to such a great degree that it's as though it's a new bilavavacha that has made a decision.
Right.
Yes.
Well, the way this goes back to Har Sinai, the important thing is the doing, the speaking, the thinking about all good things comes not on such a significant level.
It was very significant. The Jews said, Naseh
v'nishma.
When
that's
you
what
say, we will do and we will hear,
that's what
I assume
saying.
I understood you.
All right. They said it first before doing it.
They said what?
They said it first before doing it.
Even that's
though
right.
They put positive v'nishma.
They now said v'nishma. Because
it.
There's a tremendous... Listen. We know the impact or the power of words. And I'm not only talking about a word of Lashon Hara or a word of Rechilus that can be destructive. Just open up the newspapers on any day. A statement of this leader or that leader can have such awesome impact. It's terrible. We know that you should know that words affect our lives. Our lives are being affected by words being said by people. There's a tremendous impact to words. That's what the Torah is telling us. Vidui, not only is it the culmination of a deep process taking place within the human being, but it also generates an even greater process to come afterwards. Okay. Halacha Aleph. We're not going to learn the whole halacha. We only need one part of it. Kol ha-mitzvot, shema Torah, all the mitzvahs in Torah. Bein asei, bein lo, sam asei, whether there are negative, the positive or negative commandments. Im ovar adam al achat mehen, if a person transgressed any one of them, bein v'zadon, bein mishkogar, regardless of whether it was done intentionally or unintentionally. Kishayaseh tshuva, listen very carefully, because this line in the Rambam has been studied and studied over and over again. Kishayaseh tshuva, when a person does tshuva, v'yashuv meicheto, and he turns back from his sin, chayev lehitvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu, he is obligated to confess before God. Blessed is he, Shenema, as it says, Ish o Ishor, Shiyasu Nikol Katosa, other men or women that are going to do any of the sins of men. They bring a sacrifice, Vihitvadu et Chatatam Asher Asu, and they should confess the sin that they did. Ze Vidu Yitvaru. That is the confession of words, words. Vidui ze, this vidui is mitzvah asay. This confession is a positive commandment. Ketzad mitvade, the Rambam says, what's the formula for vidui? How do you do it? So he says, Omer, a person will say, Omer Hashem, Rufeisho, Chotosi, Ofisi, Poshati, I've sinned, I've erred, I've rebelled, Ufamecha before you, Vasiti, Kach, Vekach, and I've done such and such. Here we have all of the components of tshuva. Number one, I recognize my sin. I know that I sin. I regret and I'm embarrassed for what I did. And then there's the Kabbalah lahaba. I accept upon myself. I never will do that again. Vidui, this is the main part of the confession. One says this is praiseworthy. All right, if we just read these few lines in the Rambam, I'll just read the significant words again. When a person does tshuva, v'yoshuv mechetto, chayav lihitvadot. He has to say vidui. And the Rambam brings a pasuk. Vidui ze mitzvah asei. This vidui is mitzvah asei. Is it possible to understand the Rambam as saying there is no mitzvah of tshuva? You know what the mitzvah is?
Yeah, vidui.
The mitzvah is the mitzvah of vidui. When a person does tshuva, so then the Torah obligates him to say the vidui. But the Torah doesn't obligate him to do tshuva. Do whatever you want to do. You want to do mitzvahs, you get points. You want to do averis. We'll keep an accounting of it. And the fact is that a number of the Akronim, certainly one of the great was the Minchas Chinuch, and then I also have the... On the other side, I have the Meshech Chochma there. It's worthwhile to take a look at the Meshech Chochma from that's number 4. The Meir Simcha says, and I know that there are a few lines there that you'll have difficulty reading, but I'll read it for you. Yeah. This is in the Parsha of Tshuva is in the Tzav. This is a passage from Vayelech. V'omav Hayomahu. There will come a day of terrible trouble, and we're going to say, Al ki ein lekai bekirbi, because God is not in my midst, because I don't have God. Mitzauni, all of these terrible things have happened. That's where in Vayelech is going to be discussed or described the idea of Hester upon him when God is in concealment. So the Meshech Chochma says in his Kashrut Daven, does there many people ask the question, Am I lo mo il tshuva? Because the pasuk is going to go on to say that, you know, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. So the question is, what do you mean to suffer? Tshuva doesn't help? Of course tshuva helps. V'nidbonein, v'shem tshuva k'vima shemo v'shmo, eich nechshevet l'mitzah. Hear what he's going to ask? Meshech Chochma asks, how can you call tshuva a mitzvah? Sheyoshuv mikislo, that a person should turn back from his evil, v'lo yechet ha'od, and he's not going to sin again. What happens if there wouldn't be a mitzvah of tshuva? What happens if there wouldn't be a mitzvah of tshuva? What's a person who has sinned supposed to do? Well, there's no mitzvah that I have to do. You know, I'll just keep doing the same aveira all over again. That's nonsense. It's absurd. The mitzvah to do or not to do exists after you've transgressed like before. No, it's a person did an aveira. It's about washing hot. And let's assume for a moment, there is no mitzvah tshuva. So if there's no mitzvah tshuva, so you can keep talking lashon hara. What do we need it for? What do we need a mitzvah tshuva? Look at the way he says it. Eich nechsheves l'mitzvah. How can you consider as a mitzvah sheyashuv mikislo that a person should turn back from the evil that he's done and he shouldn't sin again? Hello, below our mitzvah. Well, without the mitzvah tshuva, mitzvah v'yomei, he still is commanded l'bli lavar al mitzvah Hashem Yisbarach. He still is commanded not to do any avera. V'chibishvil she'ova v'shonava, because the person did an avera, it's like hudrolo. It says no, now he's permitted to do it. And therefore the Torah has to come along and tell him, no, you better do tshuva. Why does the Torah have to tell me that I have to do tshuva? Hinei ha'azhorah ha'rishona ha'mona'ato mechato terem shakoto. The first prohibition that stops him or should stop him from sin before he sinned should stop him from sinning before he sins for the second, the third, or the tenth time. Ganachare shakoto. Omnam, two lines further. Omnam mitzvos hatshuva. Mitzvos hatshuva. I'm going to read that for you. There's one. Mitzvos hatshuva. Asher al zeh tzorech mitzvah pratis. Who? He says, what do we need a mitzvah for? She'im chota. If a person sinned and he stopped sinning, mitzvil his vados. The only thing the Torah can tell me is what you should do. To tell you not to do the avera again? I don't need another time to tell you. Once the Torah said you can't do it, you can't do it the second time too, or the tenth time. Ulahagi l'fnei Hashem yisbarach, to tell God. You have to tell God, I know that I sinned, and I want forgiveness. And then he says, "V'cheinu." This is clear already. V'cheinu b'loshem hakambam. This is the way the Meshech Chacham is reading the Rambam that we just learned. V'cheinu l'shon Rabbeinu b'hilchus tshuva. This is what our Rebbe says in Hilchus Tshuva. Kishiyasa tshuva v'yoshuv mi'chetaro. When a person does tshuva and he turns back from the sin, perush. He's not going to sin anymore. Why is he not going to sin anymore? Because lashon hara is still asur. Because of the tzivui shehu mitzuvi is committed shelo lavo the pama rishona kodem chata, the first original prohibition remains now. Being it's a second mitzvah chayim lihivadot lifnei Hashem yisbarach shenema biyivado etchatosam etc. etc. Meshach Chachma is saying clearly the way we are reading the Rambam. That's exactly the way we're reading it. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Tov, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and Rav Aaron both say, can't be. The Chav says he had an uncle who wrote a sefer called Avodat HaMelech, a perush on the Rambam Hilchot Tshuva, also takes the position that the Rambam doesn't hold that tshuva is a mitzvah and the only mitzvah is vidui, and the Rav says it can't be. How can you say that there's no mitzvah to do tshuva? And of course, he's going to try to prove it from the words of the Rambam. Yes?
Isn't tshuva, you would say, like an added state of grace that Hashem gives you, that it is a gift from Hashem rather than...
That's what you're saying is number three from the Shari Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah, which you have not had a chance to learn. Right now we're dealing with the Rambam. So you did well. Okay.
Yes,
the Rav says it can't be. Can't be? No mitzvah tshuva? Ah, but what's the position of the Rambam? So therefore the Rav says, we have to take a look at the Rambam in its totality. So first of all, he points out, let's look at that, let's look at the title, the heading, let's look at it again, that little line over there. The Rambam says, mitzvah tasei achat, one positive commandment, b'hu, read the formulation there. She'yoshuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yitvado. How do you like that? The Rambam enunciates the mitzvah in a different way, and he says It's one mitzvah say that a person should do tshuva and confess. That's a little different than what one might understand from looking in the Rambam, in the halach itself. The headings are very important. Wait. Take a look at number two, another source. This is in the second chapter of Hilchot Tshuva. Umami HaTshuva, what is Tshuva? Who? Sheyazo HaChotei Cheto, that the sinner should set aside his sin, V'yisido V'machshavto, and remove it from his thoughts, V'yigmor V'livo, and aside in his heart, Shelo Yasehu Od, he's not going to do it anymore. Shenema, Yazo Rosho Darko, let the evil, let them leave their way, and the chemit nachem al shalvar, he should regret the past. And now, kiachare shuvi nichanti, after I did tshuva, I regret it. V'yoyim, all of you, there, Talmud, understand what kind of a tshuva has to be, that the one who knows all secrets, God should be able to testify about the person that he really means it. That's an abdenge to be reached. That's not easy. To reach the point where your Deya Taralumo, the one who knows everything, is going to testify about him, Shalom Yoshiv Luzah Chet Liolam, that he's never going to do this sin. Shenema, V'lo Nomar Odo Lahinu Lamasi Yudenu, we're not going to call our handiwork Elohim Wabu God. But Tzorech Lihisvados, Vistosa V'loma Inyonos Elu Shigoma Believo. He has to say Vitui and express with his lips all of these ideas that he decided in his heart. Chav says, here it seems that the Rambam is describing an entire process of tshuva, and that's the mitzvah. Vidui is only, in this halacha, vidui is the conclusion of this whole
process.
More than a process, you know, I don't like the word process.
I know.
All right? We're talking about an internal upheaval. There's something that is, and it may be a process that takes years. It may take less, depending on what the person is, depending on his circumstances. Here it seems quite clear that tshuva is a mitzvah, and the Chanan is described tshuva. Number three, this is already in chapter 7. Kol ha-nevi'im kulam tzivu al ha-tshuva, all the prophets commanded that you should do tshuva. You understand already what the Chav is saying. Tzivu al ha-tshuva, they commanded to do tshuva. So it seems that tshuva is a mitzvah. Ve'en Yisrael nig'olen el ha-tshuva, and Israel are going to be redeemed only through tshuva. U'kvar yifticha Torah, and the Torah has already guaranteed she'sof Yisrael asos tshuva b'sof golukam, that the end is that Israel is going to do tshuva at the end of their exile, u'miyad heim nig'olen. And immediately they will be redeemed, and here the Rambam is going to bring a pasuk from the parsha that we just read. And the way the Rambam explained it, you see, the Rambam said that the psukim are not only a mitzvah, but the psukim are also a guarantee, a promise, or a hint to what's going to be in the future. So he says, V'hoyo ki yovor alecho kol advor, v'shav tov Hashem alokecho, v'shav Hashem alokecho tshvutcho v'nichamecho, so we see that tshuva and geula are inextricably intertwined one with another. In this halacha of the Rambam, he talks about tshuva as something that will happen in the future, and he also says, "Kol ha-nevi'im kulam tzivu al ha-tshuva." They commanded that tshuva should be. All right, so the Rav says, it must be that tshuva is a mitzvah. The Rambam cannot be understood as meaning that only vidui is the mitzvah. How is it possible that tshuva should not be? The Rav will go on to explain what the relationship between tshuva and vidui is, but I want to just spend a few minutes and put in my an idea that those of you who've been hearing my shiurim for years most probably will recognize the idea already, because it's something that keeps growing in me, and I know this is what the what I feel about it. And it was triggered by I've been studying, I do it every year, I've been studying Rav Kook on the arcade on Arkadat Yitzchak. And it's possible maybe next week's year is going to be the Rav on the Arkadat. We've done it in the past, but it's unbelievable. There's something that just emotionally impacts on me. It's Rav Kook's description of Arkadat Yitzchak, which is, of course, a central theme. A central theme of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm just focusing in on one little word and one idea that's expressed by Rav Kook. And it came to pass after these things, and God appeared to Avram and told him, Kachma et bincha et yichidcha asher ahavta et Yitzchak. Please take your one and only son, Yitzchak, whom you love. Rav Kook is going to describe how Avraham Avinu, he's going to take us emotionally. It's like a movie. He's going to take you step by step and show you exactly how Avraham acts and what he does, and we'll be even able to penetrate his mind. And then Rav Kook comes toward the end and says, you have to know, most significant about the Akedah, didn't happen to me. God didn't tell him, take your son and kill him now. Because then we might be left with the impression that this was an act of passion. It was an act at the moment, but it wasn't something that was thought out clearly. And Avraham Avinu made a decision. That's why it takes place after 3 days. And in all of his preparations, you see a man who's calm, who has everything figured out. This is not just some mad religious act. No, this is clearly thought out. And then the coup de grace, the main point. Kach na. When God tells Avram, Kach na, please take your son. Do you know what God is telling him? This is not a mitzvah. I'm not commanding you to do it. You're absolutely free. I'm saying, no, please. You wanna? You wanna. You don't want to? You don't want to. This is not a commandment. It's not like the first time that God said, leave your land, leave your birthplace, leave your home and go to the land that I tell you. Kach no. Furthermore, the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu had all the reason in the world to beg off and say, the British, I'm sorry, you can't even ask me to do this. Because you yourself, you promised me, keep Yitzchak Yikara Lechazara. Yitzchak is going to be my seed. You're breaking your promise. It was an oath of yours. And the fact is that the Medrash tells us that after the Akedah, Avraham says to God, you know what I could have told you. You know that I could have asked you the great question. You promised me that Yitzchak is going to be my generations to come. And now you tell me to kill him. So the point that Rav Kook wants to make is Avraham was absolutely free. There wasn't even the coercion of a mitzvah. There was no divine command. Over the years, I have developed a list, it's a small list, but it's a very significant list, of mitzvot, or what seem to be mitzvot, that may not really be mitzvot. Because there are certain things that God wants to leave completely to man's free will. One that I discovered a year ago was the Malbim, the first Malbim on Parashat Truma. Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'yikhu li Truma, and they should take unto me donations for the Mishkan, Zor, v'chesef, v'choshes, gold, silver, copper, all is the things. The Malbim says in the first line of Parashat Truma, he says, be careful, take a look at what it says here. It says, V'yikhu li tuma, take unto me tuma. What should it have said? It should have said that God tells Moshe, tell the Jewish people, V'yitnu li tuma, you should give truma. Why does it say it sort of in a roundabout fashion, and take unto me truma? So the Malbim says, God wanted that whatever donation Jews are going to give for the construction of the Mishkan should be an absolute expression of their own free will. There shouldn't be the coercion of mitzvah. The convention was going to, you know, like having a building fund, and you know, they'll put up a big thermometer where the Mishkan is supposed to be built. And the Rebbeinu, you understand, this is the kind of fundraising that you can't refuse, because the Rebbeinu says give. Oh no, he doesn't give. He doesn't want that. What he wants is literally an outpouring of Jewish generosity. That's what he wants. And therefore, it's written in such careful terminology. Not v'yitnu li truma, give me truma. But you know how it's read? You know how it's written? V'yikhuli truma. So he says, you know what v'yikhuli truma is? You appoint people, Moshe, you just appoint people who will be ready to receive donations. But coercion? I don't want even the mitzvah, of course. Nobody's going to be coerced. Ah! You want to share in a home that's going to be built for the Rebbeinu Shleilam? That's quite a project. Eze proyek gadol. You want a share in that? Let it come out of the absolutely free. Avraham Avinu was free. No coercion whatsoever. Well, we also said this with regard, I always quote the, it's not famous, but I'm going to tell me it's famous when I make these things famous. The Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Svidei Eish, has a tshuva in which somebody asks him, why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot? On Purim, you're supposed to send gifts, so why don't we make a bracha? Hashem, Shon, Tzeis, Mitzvahonu, on Mishloach Manot. So there are those who want to answer that it's similar to tzedakah. Now the Rashba, the great Rishon, says you don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah, because you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that requires somebody else. You only make a bracha on a mitzvah that I can fulfill myself. But tzedakah requires somebody who's to receive that tzedakah. So he says that's not a good enough answer by Mishloach Manot, because by Mishloach Manot, you might not be aware of this halacha, it may come in handy sometimes. The halacha by Mishloach Manot, what happens if I send Shalach Manot to somebody? And they say, you know, it's really very nice. It's so sweet of you. I hate that. All right. It's so sweet of you. But no, thank you. It's okay. I have enough apples and I have enough oranges. Thanks. I didn't mean it. I really appreciate it. The halacha is that you fulfill the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah, Mishloach Manos, is supposed to be an expression of a friendship. And therefore, if you try to send and they said no, thank you, so finish. You fulfill the mitzvah. So the Svidei Eish says that means that mitzvah of Shalach Manos doesn't really depend on somebody else. It can be me alone. I don't need anybody else.
You should make a problem.
So he says you should make a problem. So the Svidei Eish says no. The whole purpose of Mishloach Manos is that there should be a sense of friendship and love and camaraderie between one Jew and another. Do you know what would be most destructive of the entire significance and meaning of the mitzvah? If before you give the Shalach Manos, you should say, Asher Kitzchonu, he sanctified us with his commandments, V'tzivanu, and he commanded. You know what he commanded means? Truth is, I don't really like you. And if you want to know all the reasons why I don't like you, I'll tell you them right now. But I happen to have a mitzvah to fulfill. I have to send Shalach Manos. You're the only guy around. You're the only one around with whom I can fulfill the mitzvah. You know? Okay, so here, take my apple and my orange. No. The v'tzivanu would fly in the face of the whole mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. it would simply become meaningless. Because there are certain things that what our rabbis want, what Torah wanted, certain things that should come from inside us without really any coercion, or something that at least minimizes the extent of the coercion. By now you should have known exactly what I'm going to. Because this is my Torah, and I want to see it in the Rambam here too as well. There is great difference of opinion whether there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of living in Eretz Yisrael or not. The Rambam does not ever, any place in non-state clearly, mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Both Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's not an obligatory mitzvah. At most, it's a mitzvah. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you get points. You get a lot of points. Many, many more. Mitzvah kiyumit, not mitzvah kiyumit. So I know there are people who said, well, listen, Rav Moshe says you don't have to live in Eretz Yisrael. You know, and I said this before, but it's going to explain, to me, it's going to explain the Rambam. So I say, I'm thrilled with this pshat halacha that Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah, an obligatory mitzvah. I'm thrilled with what Rav Moshe said. I'm thrilled with what Rav Soloveitchik said. Because you know what it means? It means that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we can come out of our own free will. And that's what the Rebbeinu wants. The Rebbeinu doesn't want somebody who's crying his eyes out as he packs his fiddle-free color TV and gets a manna fridge on the east side that won't go into any Israeli apartment. And he's crying all the way because there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so he has to go. Now, if that's the way you feel about it, do me a favor. Stay on the east side. David HaMelech in Tehillim describes the sin of the spies as Moasu, they rejected Eretz Chemda, a desirable land. We say it in benching. Eretz Chemda Torah. Eretz Chemda means something that I desire, not something that's imposed upon me, even by a mitzvah from above. It flows from me. That's where the Shechinah is. That's the land that the nation loves. From there the whole world was created. There we can achieve our ultimate greatness. I want to be there. So therefore, I'm perfectly happy with the idea that there is no mitzvah that obligates a person to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shulam wants a person to do tshuva because of the very depths of his heart. He feels lonely. He feels he's made terrible mistakes. There's an emptiness. Life has lost its meaning. And he begins to think and ponder, and he arrives at a conclusion. Oh, yeah, I need a Rebbeinu Shalom in my life. I need Torah. I need that which I have neglected all of these years. He wants tshuva to come from the very depths of the heart of the Jew. Not even a mitzvah to coerce. Not even a mitzvah. Kachno es bincha es yechidcha. Please, Avodi. It's all up to you. I don't want to coerce you with a mitzvah. You don't have to bring donations for my dwelling place. There are certain areas of Yiddishkeit that the Rebbeinu Shem leaves that opening, that it should come from me, from me. I want to put tshuva into that category. I'm a little frightened about it, because I'm disagreeing with the Chav. That's not easy. It's not easy, okay? Not easy for me at all. But there may be some merit. There may be some merit to what I'm saying. Ah, you have arrived. You've done tshuva in your heart. You did that. Now Torah says, okay. Now, what I want you to do is, you finally made it. Kishayaseh tshuva, when you do tshuva, vidui. That's the mitzvah. That's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants from you. Tshuva, up to you. Vidui, now we're working together. You made your way back to me. I'm sort of taking it by the hand through the rest of the process. Habo Tahir, the one who comes to purify himself, Messiah, lo, we help him. So God says, you want that tshuva to remain strong? You have to give it, you have to give it body. Express it with your mouth. Say it. Say it. You have no idea what that's going to mean. But the truth itself, not in itself. Not in itself. I'm taking the position with the new Chastinov and the Meshach Chachma. And I don't know, I have a feeling that maybe the Rav is smiling down. I don't know. I don't know. But let's say we'll leave it open. Leave it open. That's the approach that I think. Next week, I'm not sure yet what I'll do next week, but most probably it's going to be, the Arkada. And Mark Pollock is reminding me that there are an excellent set of four tapes over there. Very inspiring, very passionate, very moving.
Best cheer you've ever given.
Goodbye.